as we progress, need to get stripped away and built up and stripped away and built up.
Right.
And I think you're highlighting some of the ways that that SFU is doing that, but also that we get to do.
Right. And I think picking on that point is this recognition that it's everyone's work. Everyone has to play their part in developing an inclusive culture and an inclusive environment. But also that it's a lot of action that needs to happen, and it's in commitment needs to move from just rhetorical exercises, but to active work. And recognize that sometimes some of this work may seem un or may feel uncomfortable. I think when we think about some of the pushback EDI work gets to have is that at times people are not aware of how systemic inequities impact other community members. So they tend to feel, why should we be engaged in this work? Or why does this matter? Because it does not touch your lived experience. So it requires being mindful of not just your own experience, but the experiences of others. And also it requires thinking about how can you be an ally even if you're not personally impacted? And what can you do as an individual to really demonstrate that commitment?
One last question for you, and it is in regards to ways in which you consider Sexual Assault Awareness Month important in the ongoing drive for equitable workplaces. What are the connections there, and what's the importance?
Sexual assault awareness is critical to creative, equitable workplaces because sexual violence is a significant barrier to equity. Workplaces that fail to address sexual violence are environments where individuals, especially women, LGBTQ plus people, and people of color may not feel seen and valued. So by raising awareness during Sexual Assault Awareness Month, we create safer, more respectful environments. This in turn contributes to gender equity and ensures that all individuals feel supported in their work and academic pursuits. And I think that's why that documentary and learning the experiences of those women when we watched it, nevertheless, was so powerful for me that when we speak up, when we challenge behaviors that are not appropriate in our workspaces, we create a more conducive environment for all. And I think I'm so proud of the work that the Sexual Violence and Prevention Office is doing at SFU in raising awareness and changing culture and providing trainings to the SFU community so that we do a better job at addressing sexual violence, sexual harassment, any form of sexual misconduct that may prop up, and that folks and people at SFU know that they can come to a workplace where where sexual assault will not be tolerated. And I
Yes,
think
thank you. Oh, go
I'd
ahead.
like to expand a little bit more in terms of the connection with the Equity Office. It is that commitment to the goal of fostering an environment that is safe, inclusive, and respectful. And while the Equity Office works to identify and eliminate systemic barriers, the SBSBO, through this work on the Sexual Assault Awareness Month, specifically kind of focuses on sexual violence and advocates for a culture of consent. And these goals, I think, intersect by creating, again, an inclusive culture.
Yeah, thank you for that. Once again, where can listeners find you at the Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion office on campus?
So I'm in an interesting place where I support student directly, so I sit within student services. But to reach the Equity Office, listeners can simply email us at edi@sfu.ca. Or if you Google me, you'll be able to find my contact details easily as well. But I think that's the best channels to contact me through that email link.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much, Jennifer, for making time. Is there anything that I have left out that maybe you need to have a last word on, or?
Yeah, I think it's worth mentioning that as much as we work to make institutions inequity free, or there are challenges, and I think recognizing those barriers and challenges become important in what are the some of the things we need to overcome, right, to achieve equity. And I just wanted to probably briefly touch on that before we go. And some of these, I think, include resistance to change when established practices are questioned, and at times people lack the awareness, again, that I mentioned earlier, that systemic inequities impact other members of the community, and that can be addressed through both your own individual. Do your research, find out how does inequity impact a particular community, and make sure you are informed. And as an institution, we're also very much embedded within broader societal inequities. We are informed as well as influenced by geopolitical shifts, and so we should not we cannot say we are an island. So systemic racism and marginalization and other societal issues impact and influence the university environment. So that's why it becomes so important that we embed EDI in all our work, both from policies and practices. And I think one of the barriers is also that economic commitment. Like policy change is one thing, but resource allocation, making sure that there's funding to support this work becomes important to drive the change we want to see and the transformation we want to see happen. So yeah, but I'm really proud of the work that the Equity Office is doing currently in strengthening our systems and challenging inequities within systems, and working to transform those systems. And sometimes that is hard. It's hard emotional work, and it's work that requires consistent change. And if you think about how systems develop over time, there has been a lot of time in the system developments, in the ways in which people do things. So reversing it at times is much more hard work. So thank you so much for having me and for giving space to this conversation. I think it's these kinds of spaces that spreads the word and brings attention to this important area.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those things, coming back to that idea of active work, that even when we know these things in our heads, the constant reminder of like, oh, right, yes, that's always a good thing, because we can get kind of caught in the same way of thinking, or these default programs or what have you, that keep us from moving forward, or keep us from being able to sort of imagine outside of the box, which really is in some ways what we're talking about, right? Is to reimagine a different way of doing things that doesn't look like what we did in the past. And chipping away on that rock is one pebble at a time.
That's true. And I think what research has shown is that equity work, when we all are given the space to flourish, collectively, we all do better. So it's in our collective interest to advance equity. It's in our collective interest to ensure that everyone's human rights are respected and everyone's presence is valued and appreciated, because ultimately it advances our collective wellness and well-being.
Oh, such a nice high note to end our conversation on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It was such a pleasure.
We're bombarded by misinformation from every direction. It's hard to know who to trust, but you can trust the voices you hear on this station and other community campus and Indigenous broadcasters across the country. We need community broadcasters, and we need to let the government know how important they are. The plan is called the Community Radio Initiative, and we need you to write your local MP to explain why this matters to you. So go to mycri.ca, and you can find out how to help protect the future of this community station.
Cause you're You're my flashlight.
And welcome back to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio. That was a song introduced to me just now by Hotaru.
Yeah, that's my favorite songs.
Jessie J and yeah, Flashlight.
Flashlight, yeah.
Yeah, nice. And before that, we heard an interview with Dr. Jennifer Kanji, who is the Director of Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion of Student Services at Simon Fraser University here and the Research Fellow at the Basile School of International Affairs, talking a little bit about what and how the university approaches the idea of empowering equitable workplaces. The week before, that's last week, I was able to attend the film screening that the SVSPO office did here on campus of a film called Nevertheless. And it highlighted, I believe, five women who...
I think seven women?
I
think six women and one man.
Okay, yeah. And their experiences of being sexually harassed or discriminated in the workplace. And the title of the movie comes from this idea that all of the stories told really had this aspect of persistence. And so, nevertheless, we persist is sort of the longer title of the movie. And I don't know if you picked up on this as well when we were listening to the interview, Hotaru, but that reiteration of this being active work.
Yeah.
You know, and this ongoing commitment.
Yeah.
To making a difference.
Yes, yes. Creating equitable and safety working place would be important for everyone, including working people and students, to work or to study effectively and comfortably without any barriers, I think.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mm. And that eliminating barriers and creating that safety net for everybody is in all of our best interest.
Yeah.
Because as Jennifer said in the interview, when we're able to have everybody at the table, it is in our collective interest because we get to see and have available to us everybody's gifts. I know that there, you didn't see the film, but I shared the notes that I had taken, and you looked at the trailer and the website for the movie, which I'll also post up. Anything that stood out to you about what I had sent? Things that jumped out and made you excited?
Yeah.
Do you want to share
my personal opinions?
Yeah.
I have many personal opinions regarding to the film. Nevertheless, I came up idea of the recurrent issues in my home countries. Recently, a Japanese broadcasting station company was uncovered sexual violence and sexual assault issues. So it's so blamed in media recently in my home country. Then because of that, then one celebrity retired. So his fan conversely are accusing the victim. So yeah, I think this kind of issues in the film are seen everywhere, I think.
Yeah. And one of the stories was very much on point with that, right? Where the how did it get put? In the film, they talked about this duty to come forward, right? When someone discloses an incident of discrimination or sexual assault, there's this duty to come forward and sort of protect the victim. But that is rarely what happens.
Yeah.
And what happened in the film to this character, and same with this story that you're telling, is that the victim is further victimized by being let go, or, you know, deemed as the troublemaker, and those crimes get perpetuated in the workplace, and that it's cultural,
and structural.
And structural. Yeah. And I'm using cultural not in a sort of ethnic cultural way, but in a societal cultural way, right? Yeah. What's required is really this shift of accountability, right? From
the offender to victim, right?
Well, the victim is the one who takes all of the accountability, whereas it needs to shift to the perpetrator, and that is really difficult, I think, in the ways that we tell the story of our gender, and the film was able to highlight that as well. And they talked about the ways in which, you know, we understand masculinity in our culture as this good, like being a good man versus being a good human.
Yeah, that's true. I think men become men in homosocial,
yeah. And so there's this tendency when men stand up for human rights rather than, you know, that toxic masculinity, that they are lower on the social ladder, and it really can prevent men from doing the good work and supporting people in ways that are critical to change.
Yeah.
I really liked, both in the film and with a lot of what Jennifer said, that we, as the collective, are part of the solution. It's everyone's work.
Yes.
Men, women, leaders, followers, everyone.
Yeah, all of us.
And in the film, they really emphasized that it needs to start with kids.
Yeah, yeah.
you know, and deprogramming little minds mm-hmm. or young minds.
Yeah, minds.
So that when they're growing up,
yeah,
it's something that they're already thinking differently about.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's such a pushback about, you know, sexual education and
sex education, yeah.
And, you know, this teaching kids about consent and, mm-hmm. you know, what feels good about their bodies and
yeah.
those kinds of things, that
yeah.
it also becomes a barrier to mm-hmm. Having these conversations with young people,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're not getting it at home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I guess the other thing that really struck me just in the last moment or so of the show was this idea that we need to actively celebrate diversity.
Yes, diversity. Yeah.
You know, and I guess that's sort of part of how we started this brief conversation or sharing is that acknowledgement that we all have gifts to bring
mm-hmm.
to the table.
Yeah.
And when we can actively celebrate each other in the ways that we, you know, are able and invited to show up as our genuine and our mm-hmm. authentic selves, then the richer the environment that we all get to sort of grow and thrive in. Yeah.
Yes.
I'm just curious in a minute.
Yeah.
If there's a difference that you see between being here and in Japan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. Better, worse, just different.
Just better. I think Japan is less progressed about sexual education or about sexual things compared to other countries, including Canada or US. Yeah.
Right. So they have a little ways to go.
Yeah.
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 As do we. So. It's a never ending story, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's it for the show today.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for joining me in the studio and bringing the song, and thanks so much for listening.
Yeah.
Coming up in just a few minutes is Democracy Now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be back next week,
yes,
with something. I have some I have some fishing lines out to see if there's any bites, and we'll talk a little bit more about gender and intersectionality and how we can be creating a better environment for all of us to thrive.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
See you next time.
See you.